12. Tentative streaks of silver were just starting to lighten the sky when Katie emerged from the services. Despite feeling tired to the marrow of her bone, every limb aching with exhaustion, she liked this time of day. There was a calmness to the first hours of dawn, the day just waking, nothing to spoil it. A new beginning. A fresh start. All rubbish, of course. There were no fresh starts, not really. We're all too entrenched in our own personal ruts, unable to summon up the energy to dig ourselves out. Life as we know it, or as she knew it anyway. This morning, like most mornings, she would drive to her younger sister Lou's house to pick up her children and make breakfast. Then she would see Sam and Gracie off to school and finally get home to bed for some sleep. At 3:10 p.m., she would pick the children up, make dinner, drop them at her sister's again, and, after they were in bed, head back up the motorway to work. Like bloody Groundhog Day. Although at least she reminded herself she had a couple of days off before the routine started again. She walked across the car park and climbed into her battered Polo. She turned on the engine and selected a CD. Yep, her car was so old it still had a CD player, and she was so old she still had CDs. Tom Petty seeped out of the speakers as she drove, singing about a good girl who loves her mama. Lucky her. Maybe mama wasn't a bitter drunk, mental note, better call mom tomorrow. She turned the song up. Free Fallin'. Just what she felt like doing sometimes. Forgetting everything. Putting her foot to the metal, driving past the turnoff that would take her home. To the dirty dishes, toys scattered across the floor like a Lego and Barbie obstacle course, the bills on the doormat, the sheer drudgery of everyday life. Driving as far as she could, to places she had never been. Of course it would never happen. She would tear her own heart out before she ever left her children. And don't get her wrong, life wasn't bad. She was luckier than most. She had a job, a house, her health. But she still couldn't help wishing there was something more. Problem was, she didn't know what. Perhaps it didn't even exist. You could spend a lifetime running from one life and chasing another. Gold at the end of the rainbow. Greener grass across the meadow. But in most cases, the gold would be fake and the green grass would be astroturf. When she got married, she had dreamed of a perfect family. A lovely home with a big garden. Maybe a dog. Holidays in a pretty cottage in Cornwall. She and Craig would watch their children grow up and grow old together. Huh. Some dream that was. When Sam was 5 and Gracie barely 1, Craig had left her for a sales rep called Amanda. The family home was swapped for a modern apartment, all tiled floors and white bloody sofas, and couples holidays in Dubai. "I just think we rushed into things," Craig had told her with his earnest brown-eyed stare. The same one he had used on her when he told her he wanted to settle down and start a family. "I need to have my life back again." Never mind about her life, or their children's. Never mind that when you committed to bringing new lives into the world, yours went on hold. You didn't just get to pick it back up again like a discarded coat, slip it on and head out of the door. But then Craig had always been selfish. She should have seen it before, but as always, she had fallen into the role of pacifier, making allowances so as not to let her marriage fall apart. More fool her. It had happened anyway. Now Sam was 10 and Gracie was 5, and the best they got from their dad was an occasional trip to the park and age-inappropriate birthday and Christmas presents. Still, at least he paid maintenance. That was one thing. Without it, her meagre salary wouldn't cover the basics, let alone the extras children needed, like clothes and shoes. No such thing as a happy family, she thought. We're all sold a lie. Adverts and sitcoms, even bloody Peppa Pig. Families were just strangers, bonded to each other by accidents of birth and misplaced duty. You couldn't choose your family. You couldn't even choose whether to love them or not. You just sort of had to, whatever they put you through. She thought about Mum, eaten up by bitterness and alcohol, Lou, with her string of failed relationships, and her older sister, who she hadn't seen for 9 years, ever since the funeral. What had she found at the end of her rainbow? Her foot pressed down a fraction on the accelerator. The sign for her junction drew into view. 14. Barton Marsh. She left it a few moments longer than normal, then flicked on the indicator to change lanes and pulled off onto the slip road. Tom warbled that he was gonna leave this world for a while. If only, she thought. But then, that could well be her mantra for life. If only she hadn't gone back to the coffee shop today. If only she had gone straight home. If only she hadn't served the thin man. If only she hadn't seen the words emerge in the battered notebook, like a bad dream resurfacing from the depths of her subconscious. The other people. You wanted something more, Katie, she thought bitterly. Well, there you go. Be careful what you wish for. When he had asked if it meant anything to her, she managed to shake her head, even as her stomach twisted itself into a tight knot. Then she walked away as quickly as she could without breaking into a run. He obviously didn't know what the words meant, and hopefully he wouldn't find out. Besides, it was not her problem. She couldn't help him. She didn't even know him. But she knew them.